Welcome back, everyone, to the Reflex Blues Show. I am your host, Donovan Beery. We're recording live from the On Brand Conference here in Omaha, 2018. This is a brand new conference, and I've got with me someone on one of the panels here, John Henry Mueller. John, you've been on the show before. How are you doing?
Hey, Donovan. How are you?
What's your panel? What's your panel talk on?
Well, I think we're talking about brand stuff, brand and corporations and things.
You actually have no idea. You were just given the time slot.
Yep.
And you got to show up.
The conference is called On Brand. It's a lot of graphic designers and advertising people. I assume that's what it's going to be about.
Yeah, this is a real fun one. It's like AAF, AIGA, AMA, and PRSA, all the Omaha chapters of all these organizations got together to create this. It's the first year they've done it. So you've got the design group, the ad group, the marketing group, the PR group, groups I don't even know exist.
Mm-hmm. It's like a Marvel Comics movie or something of Omaha advertising and design.
I wonder if that's what happened. Somebody watched the Avengers, watched Justice League, and figured the next thing is obviously On Brand.
Yeah, this is probably exactly how it happened.
And now, last time we spoke to you, you had just taken off. You were just getting ready to leave to the coast. I think last time we were on the show, and you were doing Facebook for Dogs.
That's right.
It's still around.
It is still around, yeah.
But you have since moved back. Welcome back to Nebraska.
Oh, thank you. I've been back in Nebraska for, gosh, longer than I was away from Nebraska.
Yeah, I think I ran into you at a couple events.
Yeah, sure.
So I've seen you. Just for our listeners, you're over at Huddle.
That's right. Huddle, sports software.
What brought you to Huddle? Like, what do you do at Huddle? Well, can you talk about Huddle?
I can talk about Huddle, for sure. I've been at Huddle now for about 2.5 years. Shortly after I moved back, I moved over there. I'd known Kyle Murphy, the VP of design there, for quite a while. I had met him at Nebraska UX events, really when that event was just getting started, that he told me about what they were doing and some of the interesting challenges that they were running into with building out a large design team and trying to get design systems going and trying to make it a much more mature design culture for a quickly growing company.
And for those who are unfamiliar, it's HUDL.com.
That's right, yep.
And Huddle allows, it's for all levels of sports.
That's right.
The level that I might join all the way down to amateur.
Sure, right, yep.
Or I think it's probably the opposite. And they can track more things than you could ever track before.
That's right.
And make like tapes and whatnot. Even do you guys go to little leagues? Does it go all the way down to that?
You know, there are some youth teams that use Huddle for different things, but it's really for coaches and athletes to make their teams better, right? So being able to review game film is a big part of every team and trying to analyze past performances, practices, and really anything that they've done to be able to better communicate, for coaches to be able to better communicate with their athletes. And so it's like you said, some like down to youth teams. Huddle got its foothold in American high school football, where pretty much every American high school football team uses Huddle high school, 98% or something like that. And that's because of they use Huddle to exchange game film. You know, when I was a kid, my dad was a high school football coach. And I used to ride along with him as he would exchange game film. We would stop and I'd get a chocolate milk and get in the car, and we would drive 15, 20 miles to a neighboring Walmart parking lot or gas station and meet another coach from a nearby community and exchange VHS tapes. I'm going to take that back home.
That doesn't sound shady at all.
I know.
That doesn't sound like you were just there with the knife in the back with your in case something went wrong.
You know, it was maybe a little sketchy, and maybe that's, I don't know. But still here today to tell the story. Yeah, so Huddle has really helped that problem area with coaches of exchanging game film. And so there's a number of areas around sports and video where Huddle really helps out teams in that aspect of the communication with teams, as well as helping teams exchange video, and then also helping athletes create highlights to help them get recruited. So there's a lot of different ways that sports interact with video and online stuff.
And I noticed, was it maybe within the last year or whatever, you had, I think you might have shared it on the social media, had created like full interface programs for people, because it's with VHS, it's just a tape. So what would you design the label, you know, or something? but now all of a sudden you have to be able to search this game film.
Oh yeah.
You have to like break it down.
Yeah.
And then you have to find ways to deliver it. So there's a lot of interface. It's not like.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So at Huddle, between brand and product designers, we have just over 30 designers. So there, it's a big design team for a product team our size. And about 25 of those are product designers. So working on interfaces, working on stuff for the product. So lots of interesting problems to solve of how to make these things work. Lots of decisions that it make along the way. And so, yeah, it's. There is a ton of stuff, a ton of things to be thinking about. I think people, when they hear that there's that many designers working at Huddle, think like, what are they all doing, right?
Well, there's also customization. If you're talking every high school team in the nation,
sure.
There's a lot of them. It's not like, you know, if you're talking in major sports, there's just, you know, oh, there's 30 teams a league, so what do you got? You know, that'd be like a designer per team.
Sure.
But you're talking about multiple sports,
yep.
and then colleges, high schools, professionals.
That's right. So, yeah, in each of those different leagues have different needs, and certainly from sport to sport. You know Miranda Bauck.
Yeah.
So Miranda
was past president of AIG Nebraska.
That's right,
and currently is, and she's been at home for a while.
Oh, yeah. Miranda's awesome. Since then, now she's working on Uniform, our design system. Which is a really fun project. I worked on Uniform for the first couple of years that I was at Huddle. Miranda worked on lacrosse, right? Lacrosse is a sport that's very popular. It's more popular in, I think, other countries, but it's becoming a lot more popular in the United States. And so she had to learn a lot about that sport just to be able to design software specifically for them. So, and Kelsey Yonda, you know Kelsey?
Oh yeah, and Kelsey's also been very active in the graphic design community here in Omaha for a while.
Yeah, Kelsey's also so great that we have such a good design team there. But Kelsey's been working like that. She actually became a referee. That she went through training. I think it was for basketball. This may have, you know, so like understanding the nuance of these games to be able to create software that's going to work for these coaches and athletes. So it's pretty cool.
Well, anytime anyone, I guess, complains about having to do research for a design project,
yeah,
it'll be like, Kelsey refereed games.
Well, I don't know if she actually refereed. She went through the training.
Okay.
At least. Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna exaggerate.
Yeah, let's exaggerate.
I'm gonna talk about players spitting in faces, you know, breaking up fights.
Yeah, I think that's.
I don't even know what sport
probably,
it is.
She was just tossing people out.
I'm gonna just
no
say
one left on the
I'm
team
gonna just say
she
it was
threw
for,
everybody out
for Ultimate Fighting.
Yep. I think that's what it was.
She got in the octagon for her profession.
Yep.
You can spend 30 minutes researching color usage.
That's right. So, yeah, don't complain about research. I mean, just look at Kelsey.
Yeah, it's rough. All right, we're going to be back. All right, John Henry.
Hi.
There's a big event coming up in like a week, or in this case, probably already happened.
Okay.
Already happened. I mean, we're recording live, but this ain't released live.
Okay. What is this big event?
Well, it's Big Omaha.
Okay.
I've never been.
Oh, okay.
But I've heard about it.
You should go.
Well, I'm kind of busy.
Okay.
There's things going on.
I understand.
Okay. No, but Big Omaha was started, and we've had Dusty on the show years ago when he started up Flywheel.
Right.
And we talked to him about Big Omaha, and we probably mentioned one of the times that Superstar Designer Drew Davies, registered trademark Andrew Davies, was on the show.
Yeah.
We talked to him probably because at the time he was branding the initial Big Omaha's.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah.
Such good work.
And you're somehow on the committee now.
Yeah.
Have you been on the committee? I know when you were running What Cheer here,
yeah,
you always were somehow, maybe not directly involved, but somehow on the side involved.
Yeah, that's right.
And you would do ticket giveaways. Mm-hmm. You would do little events or pre-parties.
Yeah. We would do all kinds of fun stuff. We did a pre-party, which was fun, which was themed like 90s technology websites with the animated GIFs and things. That was fun. But some of the more memorable things, we did a coloring contest, which Ben Luters won.
Yeah, so that was that on the first one or the second one? Or?
I think that was 2011, so that would have been a couple years in after the conference first started, but yeah.
So what happened was Ben had been in my class a few years before, but when you have students and it's like you remember them but you don't.
Yeah.
You don't always think it. And I think at the time Tony Montgomery was working for me and he was doing great work. Mm-hmm. And he was going to leave and I needed to hire someone fairly quickly. And I remember Ben posted on Facebook that he won this coloring contest.
Yeah.
And he posted and I was like, oh, I remember Ben. Like Ben's work was good. So I called him up and see if he was interested in a part-time job.
Uh-huh.
And at the time, it would just work out really well.
That's actually how that happened, through that connection.
Yeah, I may have remembered Ben without that, but that was like a thing where it just popped up. And
that's
I'm
so cool.
But I'm like, oh, I remember Ben. And it wasn't because I saw his coloring per se, but it was my reminder of, oh, I remember him. I remember his work being good. I remember him being a good person.
This goes full circle then. So this year, this is
and by the way, Ben was just on the show. He co-hosted the podcast with me when he worked for me for over a year.
Yeah.
And then he was just back on. I think we made him do Mountain Dew taste testing with Aaron Pilley, who works with him.
Very good.
Just a few months ago.
Uh-huh. I'm curious about this Mountain Dew taste testing.
What happened was, Baxter Arena here, they had an event for SCGD had an event, and when we were leaving, they were giving out cans of Mountain Dew ice. Oh, it was right before the Super Bowl.
Okay,
because that's when they started really promoting it.
Yeah,
and so I'm like, and Ben was already hooked to be on the show, and I'm like, all right, I guess we're going back to old school Mountain Dew taste testing, which was a bedrock. It was like a part of the core of this podcast was founded on that.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Doesn't Mountain Dew taste like Mountain Dew every time?
Well, they have all the new flavors. And
I see.
So it's like different types. So then I went to the store and I found a few other Mountain Dew flavors that I did not know existed.
Okay.
Because they still come out with the flavor like every 3 months.
Is that right?
Oh. It seems like it.
Wow.
Maybe I don't keep up on as much. I obviously don't keep up on as much as I should.
So is this the taste testing would be, what's your favorite? Was it blind?
No, we pour. I mean, it's just like, you know, see who can drink the most without spinning on the floor.
Oh,
I mean, maybe,
wow.
Maybe.
I don't, is that what a taste test is?
We went like 5 years between taste tests.
Okay.
Between this last one. It might have been because Steve Gordon like left a stain on the carpet after spitting one of the flavors out.
Oh.
They had that like milky white flavor.
Oh.
Or it was a milky, like it poured and it was like, it wasn't thick like milk, but it was like a thicker than water and it wasn't really translucent. It had this whitish hue to it. It was not pleasant.
It sounds delicious, what you're describing.
You're like, I need more of that. Well, one of the ones we just tasted a few months ago was like bright green. It looked like an antifreeze or something you'd pour in a car.
Yeah.
It was, that one actually did not taste bad, but I don't know how you could drink a whole can of that.
Oh, yeah.
It was sweet.
Yeah, well, I don't really drink Mountain Dew.
The Mountain Dew ice was not recommended.
Mm. Well, so anyway.
Yeah. So Ben's doing the coloring contest.
Yeah. Ben did the coloring contest in 2011, won the contest, apparently met up with you and got his first professional job, which is pretty cool.
Well, he was working at the Hawaii Reef Initiative before that.
Okay.
So he did, but you know.
Okay.
His first agency job, I guess, if you want to call it that.
First agency job. Yeah. Cool. Well, so it goes full circle this year. So Ben is actually and his gang at Fruitful Design, which he's grown and doing awesome work over there, they're hosting a coloring contest this year. So that's pretty cool that for Big Omaha promoting the contest or promoting the event and Color Cow and win tickets to Big Omaha and Maha. That's fun.
And Maha is that one's hasn't been around quite 10 years, but it's been
10 years. Oh, this is the 10-year anniversary of both events. I know, they both started the same year.
I was thinking it was just a couple years behind, but
no, same year, actually. Pretty wild.
Okay, and so Maha is an all-day music festival, which is now a two-day music festival.
Two-day music festival,
and Weezer's actually headlining this.
Weezer's headlining. Father John Misty, he'd be on the radio. Pretty good lineup.
The word is this is the last Big Omaha.
This is the last Big Omaha. Big Omaha by name. So the conference has been such an important part of my career, my life, really, that it's meant a lot. I've met a lot of great people through the conference, and it's inspired me to do different things and try different things and take risks. But the conference landscape has changed quite a bit over the years, And we know it needs to evolve, right? We know it needs to turn into something else to better support the community than what the conference has been. So this year, it's going to look quite a bit like previous years. Next year, we're looking to transform the conference. The name will change, but it will exist in some way. Some aspects of Big Omaha will be there next year, but it will be folded into an experience that brings the two events a little bit closer.
So more, yeah, because I've found that, and out of all these conferences, the ones that do the best are the ones that they take what works well, but they're not afraid to make massive changes or take risks and try to evolve it, because things do change.
Things change, yeah.
And a lot of it is even like the time in between talks can make a difference.
Yeah.
With networking, either they're too far, there's too much time, there's too little time.
Right.
Like little tweaks like that will make or break an event.
Yeah, it's definitely the case. So this is the last Big Omaha as we know it, right? It's the last event that will have the Big Omaha name, and then next year it will be a similar event with some changes, and hopefully we can make it something that the Omaha community really needs and adores, and make it something that becomes a staple in the community, a big event that happens once a year.
I'm gonna throw this out there: Medium Omaha.
Medium.
Medium Omaha.
What do you mean?
That's
got you. I see. I was getting confused with the online blogging platform.
No. Yeah, it's probably not good. Okay, yeah. Giant Omaha?
Giant? Oh, it should
Tiny
go bigger.
Tiny Omaha.
Gigantic, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. Well, we'll explore those options.
Okay, yeah. Do not take my advice on any of these things, by the way. They're terrible.
Yeah. So before you were mentioning my old consulting company, was involved with the conference. And so we did some parties and we did some coloring contests, but some other ways we were involved was having, I guess, these like sort of experiments that would happen throughout the event. We did a couple different like games. We did a chat platform for one of the years to try to help connect conference goers so that way they could talk to each other. We did this hot or cold game, which was citywide, where you would look at the website and it would tell you, checking your geolocation, if you were close to the target or not. And then you would drive to it. You would drive to get hotter, 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 just like the kids' game.
And so you'd have, and I remember seeing that. So the map was, is like the closer you were to the point, but you're on a radius.
Oh, right.
So so if you're going one way, you're like, are you going inward? Like, you don't know where the point is.
Yeah. Trying to be strategic about it too. So if you were zooming down I-80, you might miss it entirely, right? You have to like take the right exit at the right time. Otherwise, you start getting cold and don't realize it until it's too late and you're, you know, four exits away. But
How long did it take for when? Because there was, you announced the game,
right?
You announced, like, was there an app or a website that
the website was all web-based, which was pretty cool. So people didn't have to download anything, that they would
just
log
in. But you announced where it was going to be, and then you said at a certain time it was going to turn on, if I remember correctly.
That's right. Yep.
So how long did it take before it was turned on, before somebody found it, found the free ticket?
The first year we did it, it was a little bit long. We did it two different years. It's a pretty fun experiment. The first year, gosh, I can't remember exactly. It was like 30 or 40 minutes, something like that. The second year, it was much quicker. It was actually the gentleman who won. I can't remember his name, but he was actually a Black Hawk pilot. And so that he worked in Offutt and thought, you know, I'd be pretty good at this. And so his setup as he, so he and he had a driver as well. So it was the two of them working together, and
it's best not to refresh website constantly while driving.
That is a good point. The second year after we realized that using your mobile device while driving is a bad idea, the second year we made it had to be a team of two, so it was a little bit safer. And that second year it was quick. I mean, it was so fast that they found us and just right there. So it's pretty fun.
And in the third year, they found out that it wasn't really for tickets. They were just picking up your dry cleaning.
Yeah, maybe.
I just running John Henry's
just errands? So take this. So that was a lot of fun. Hot or cold definitely stands out as one of the most fun things we did. My favorite experiment that we did, though, was one called Selective Perspective Detective Objective.
That just rolls off the tongue.
I know. Or SPDO for short. So SBDO. So it was a really fun thing. And so without it was QR codes that would QR codes are so cool. Right. So this was 2011 as well.
Yeah, you could probably, when you said QR codes, I could probably narrow it down to a 6-month span immediately.
Right. But we made them into these targets that you would go around and you would see them around the event. And then you would scan them with your device. And so you needed a QR scanner. And then you would just sign up and through the website. And it was mobile website, which that was the first responsive website I ever made, was that web app for SPDO. Anyway, that it was had a leaderboard. You would get points for every target you would scan, and there was achievements as well. So if you went to the pre-party events, you would get a Night Owl badge. If you scanned something at a coffee shop, you would get a coffee badge. You know, different things like that. Lots of fun. My favorite one was that if you scanned the... Oh, there's a couple here. Both have to do with restrooms. So sorry, this is... might be not safe for work.
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't know where in the restroom you're putting the QR code, but I think I'm gonna let you roll a little.
Okay,
bit
longer here. We'll see. You cut me off if this gets too provocative.
Okay.
So the one was a reflective perspective, right? So that was the name of the badge, where it was actually backwards, and it was across from the mirror, and so you actually had to scan it in the mirror to make the QR code work, and so that was pretty fun. Certain people got it, and it was worth a lot of points. And so that was a pretty fun one. And the other one that was in the bathroom, it's actually an achievement. You had to scan the one in the men's restroom and the women's restroom for the perv badge if you got both bathrooms. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Maybe that's a little too provocative. You might want to cut that.
We're going to be back in just a minute. All right. So we're back with John Henry Mueller.
Hello.
An aficionado of bathrooms.
Oh, yes,
as
right.
As it finds out. And the other thing is, over your years at What Cheer and at PAC and now at Huddle and stuff, you've seemed to keep an eye on, you know, you've always seemed to be at least, no one's fully caught up to date on what the web or these things are going to do, but
sure.
But you haven't, like, fallen behind, as I guess is my way of wording it, per se.
Well, I hope not. I don't know. I probably have.
Right, but you've seemed to always try. Like you, following your career a little bit, you've done great at, like, it seems, to experimenting, trying things, and somewhat trying to at least stay current with what's happening.
Yeah.
So with that being said, what, like, if someone was listening now, and what's the thing that you would recommend them getting into?
Hmm. Well, I mean, something that my attention's been put a lot on is design systems. It's kind of this, like, repackaged idea of, I mean, style guides have been around forever, right? But the idea of design systems are style guides plus the component library, plus the processes, plus the people, everything that exists to make design work in these growing product companies, right? We have all these, like, growing digital product companies that design's really important, and but how do you make it work, right? All the design that you do, I do, everyone at this conference does is systems, right? But design systems specifically means those types of things, and so of the component library plus style guide plus processes, all that stuff. So, I mean, I think that's an area that is still really exciting. We started our design system Uniform about 2.5 years ago is when the project started. We launched our new documentation website this spring. And so...
And that thing looked great.
Thank you.
What I saw, and it was huge.
Yeah, there's
like you forget when you're dealing with how many different people buy your product, they all want to customize it a little
sure.
bit too.
Yeah.
So it's not like you just made a product and you're like, here's what you're going to use. It's like...
Yeah.
Oh no, here's a very customizable
system. Yeah, I mean, it's a really tough problem, especially since, you know, you mentioned before about how many different types of things and serving wide audiences in at Huddle, serving all these different audiences and lots of different problems to solve. And so creating a design language that's going to work and span all of those different things, and then create a component library that supports all that is what we're trying to do. So it takes a long time to be able to make sure that things are very well vetted, that they make sense in all of these different areas. And it's a lot of fun, a lot of interesting stuff.
What was it that originally got you into web in the first time? Because you've been in it for a while.
Sure. So I graduated in 2001 from the Creative Center. And then my first job out of school was a web design job. And it was a company called On-Site Solutions. We were not working on-site, that, like the name would assume.
Of course not.
Right. But that was the name of the company. And I learned how to write HTML and CSS from a guy named Chris Ginn. Do you know Chris?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, Chris is a great guy. So that was, yeah, so 2001, I mean, that was like recovery from the dot-com bubble time. And I think that's when the web started taking itself a lot more serious. It became a lot more practical. And I think it was a good time to get into the web. And that was... back in the days when
you
HTML
could get a job
tables
and just learn
were,
on it.
Yeah, you could, yeah, yeah. And, entering web design now with all of the complexities of all of these front end frameworks and stuff, it would be a lot more difficult to just jump in and be a front end developer.
How do you think you would? Like, what would you tell someone if they want to just jump in?
It's a good question. The web is just, has so many resources that are available for free, people doing YouTube tutorials and just a quick search away. Google's just so powerful. You figure out how to search something and you're able to get the answer. So, man, just digging into a project and figuring it out, committing to something before you know how to do it and figuring it out along the way is a totally valid way of doing stuff.
That seems like the way we used to do it way back when.
Yeah. So maybe things haven't changed that much. Maybe things are still the same. But that's just, me assuming based on my own experience.
I think someone asked me, they're like, some certain things, they just asked me like a couple weeks ago, if web has gotten easier because, you know, it's not like you have to code it with, you don't necessarily have to code like in text editor where it'll completely. And I said, well, in some ways it has, but in some ways it's gotten more difficult because... all of a sudden there's just different, more things to think about.
Yeah.
Back when we first coded, you had to worry about like files couldn't be large because they wouldn't download fast. Yeah. Monitors were small. You could barely put any graphics, so you couldn't do a lot.
Right. And now there's just so much to think about, right? That like you're thinking about mobile devices, you're thinking about full size devices, you're thinking about mobile apps and how those things interplay. And then you're also thinking about what types of software to use and what type of technologies to use. And so it's just, back in my day, it was, you're going to use Photoshop. And that was just expected, right? And then in the last few years, it's, there's Figma and there's Framer and there's Sketch and there's just so many new tools popping up every single day, prototype tools, that just staying on top of all that is, it's kind of overwhelming.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much, John Henry Mueller. HUDL.com is Huddle.
Yeah.
The On-Brand Conference here in Omaha, and we'll catch up with you sometime later. We'll be back in a week or two with another interview here from On-Brand.
Yeah. Thanks so much. This was fun.
Thanks.
The Reflex Blue Show with Donovan Beery is hosted at 36point.com. Music by Dustlab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab. Thank you.